Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You're probably already there. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. God is saying, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor." And we know what labor means. Amen. Some of us labor on our job. Some of us do a lot of physical work on our job, whether it's mentally or are we moving about. It's labor. It's work. Sometimes you don't have to go out your house. If you have children, that's work. Amen. Amen. You got to help them get off to school. You got your whole day is just work. Sometimes it's work. So, but we're not talking about this natural work. We're talking about the soul work. Amen. Labor. It says, "Come unto me, all that are labor." Labor means to toil. Means it's a task. It means to struggle. It means it's hard labor, mentally or physically. It can exert. You be exerted, wore out from stresses and things of life. Labor. That's the kind of labor we're talking about tonight. He said, "Come unto me," because see, you can go lay down if your body tired, but if your soul tired, laying down won't be good enough. You still be jumping around. Amen. Your mad thoughts going here and there. The Lord is saying, when you get like that, come unto me. God said, bring that to me. Cast all your cares on me. Tell me about what's going on with you. Not that he doesn't know, but he wants you to cast your care. God does not invade in our life unless we invite him in our life. He can know what's going on, but he's not just going to call and just fix your problem. You don't come and ask him. Said, "Come unto me, all that are toiling, all that are struggling, whatever your struggle may be, all that's going on in the tasks of life, the precious life." He said, "Bring that to me. Don't keep that." Isn't that good? Amen. He gave us the option. We do not have to keep that. He said, "Come unto me, all that are labor and are heavy laden." I'm already laboring and I'm overburdened. Laden, the other word laden means I'm stressed pretty much. I'm overwhelmed with all of this burden on me. I'm already tired and I got all this burden on me. He said, "Bring that to me. Come unto me, all that are laboring and heavy laden." He didn't just say come for nothing. He said come, and what did he say? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that are labor." If I told you what labor means, to toil, to struggle, to be worn out, hard labor, mentally or physically, exertion. And the word laden means to be oppressed. People might say oppressed or stressed out, burdened down, mentally or physically. He said, when you feel like that, come to me. But most people don't come to the Lord. They just walk and keep that. If they don't know about coming, Lord, they don't know about coming. Lord said, come to me and talk. Have a little talk with me. Talk with me about what's bothering you. And he said, I will give you rest. In other words, he said, if you bring that to me, I'm going to relax you. Rest means to relax. Rest doesn't mean I'm all tensed up. I'm all like this. I'm all stressed out. Rest means relax. When you lay down in the bed to rest, your purpose is to lay down to rest. So when you lay down, you rest means to relax. I'm laying down. I could sit up in the chair. I sit up in the chair as long as I can. And then it's like, now I'm going to stretch out in a bed that's bigger, where I can stretch every day. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to relax. And so he said, come unto me, all that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. God said, I will give you rest. If you could rest yourself, you would have did it. So if then you couldn't do it, so you need to go to him, that he can help you, because there might be something that's toiling over, back and forth in your head that you cannot do anything about. You can't seem to get rid of it. I don't know about you, but when I have different things that's going on with me and I feel like I can't overthrow it, I don't pray one time. If it don't go, I keep praying till it goes. I don't want to be tormented with thoughts. I don't want to be tormented with depression. I don't want to be tormented with discouragement. I know that's not God's will for me. I found out that I don't have to keep that. When you don't know no better, you just keep it for all day. You keep it another day. You keep it for, you done kept it all week, and you're depressed. So I try not to go there. Amen. I ain't saying the devil don't fight me with different things, but I've learned to cast them off real quick. I'm learning more and more. Give them to God real quick. Don't wait a day. Don't sit there and try to figure out something that's got you by crazy or confused. Let it go. Give it to God. Amen. You give it to God, you can go on with your life. But if you don't give it to the Lord, you're going to walk around with that. Can I get an amen? It said, cast your cares. In other words, cast the Lord said, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. In other words, God's speaking about rest. Rest, amen. We know that rest means to relax, to be still. To be still where? In your mind. Be still. If you got one thought coming after the other, and one thought just keep coming up, you trying to figure out your situation, you trying to figure out your problem, that is no rest. The Bible said, trust in the Lord with all, not some of your heart, with all your heart. And then it says, and don't lean to your own understanding. Because if he had to put that in there, because if you say you trust the Lord, but you're still trying to figure stuff out in your mind, you're leaning to your own understanding, you're going to come up with zero. If God didn't give you an answer, you don't have an answer. Sometimes if you can't answer for other people either, if God didn't give you something, you cannot answer for them. You can't answer for yourself if God didn't give you an answer. You know, somebody might ask you, well, when are you going to do this and do that? If you have an answer, you give it to. If you don't, you say, I don't know, right? So, in other words, God said, in other words, if you're coming to me, I'll give you rest. And God said, take my yoke. Take my way. The way I do things, take my way. Learn my way. Take my yoke and learn of me. God said, learn my ways. Learn how I do stuff. Learn how I handle things. They have their little braces people be wearing around their arm. They used to, what would Jesus do? We need to think about that in every situation, especially those challenging situations we can't do anything about. We need to be thinking, what would Jesus do if he was in this situation? What? How would he have me? I wonder what he would, how he would have me to handle this. Amen. So he's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. In other words, begin to make sure you learn to get in the word of God. You need to get in the word. You can hear the word preached on a Sunday. You can hear it taught on a Wednesday. But if you never pick up your Bible, you never study the word of God, you never, amen, learn of, you will not learn of him. And even what you hear during the week, you'll lose some of that. You'll lose probably most of it if you don't connect back with it some kind of way throughout the week. That's how you learn. Amen? You can't learn if your mind is cloudy either. You got to have clarity of thought, knocking everything out the way when God's word comes. That's why you hear some people, they say amen. Some people, they body here, but they somewhere else. You're not getting what you need to get because there's a burial there. But when you come to the house of God, you want to be all ears because you learn. That's how you learn. When you read, you pick up the word of God. When you get ready to read the word of God, you're going to pick it up and you're doing a whole lot of stuff. You're not going to learn. You want to learn. I don't care if you're just reading the 23rd Psalm, you're just reading one paragraph. That's good. If you understand that one paragraph is good. You don't have to understand the whole 23rd Psalm. If you can understand that one paragraph, you're getting something. When you come away from God's word, you need to know I got something. I understood what he said. Amen. So it's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. God's letting you know his characteristics of God. God said, I am meek and lowly in heart. I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you should find rest for your souls. God is not all up in a frenzy and all worked up and on edge. He said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. It's a comfortable way. His mannerism is very calm. Coming to me. Because he wanted to put that same calm on you. Amen. So take my yoke upon you. And things happen in our life. Like I said, without storm warning, we got storms coming in our life without a warning. And we have to, and sometimes you get worked up for a minute, but God don't expect you. If you know anything about him, unless you don't know nothing about him, he does not expect you to stay worked up. He wants you, amen, to speak to that storm. Tell the Lord about the storm. Quit telling the storm about, in other words, talking to your storm, telling your storm about the Lord. Telling God about your storm. You tell the storm about the Lord. God said this. Now, how would you know that if you never read it? Even if you read it, you need to understand what you read. The Bible said, with all you're getting, get an understanding. Because when you understand something the way it is, that is power. That is power and ability to act because you know for yourself that God said it and you believe, you put your faith with it and you believe it's going to do it and something's going to happen. Somebody give God a praise. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you should find rest. That word rest again, God said, you come to me, you're going to find rest. for your soul. You know, he didn't say rest for your body. He said rest for your souls. What is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is the real inside of you. What feels, what hurts you, what comes against you, what you go through. That's the real you. That's what hurts. That's what God is talking about. I'll come to relax. Can I get amen? It said, for rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. God is saying, the way that I, my ways is easy. God said, the way of a transgressor is hard. So God said, if you do it your way, even if you do it your way, that's going to be a hard old way. You know, it is going to be a hard way because we do stuff hard because we're human. God can take you to somewhere just like in a minute and get you where you need to go. We got to go down this way, that way. We do stuff all along and all drug out. We do it to the best of our ability. But God can show you a better way to look at a situation. He can show you a better way to do something. He can lift all them loads off of you if you want him to lift them off of you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what. You'll be able to move on if you walk by the Spirit and not by what you see. You'll be able to go a long stretch. You have to look back yourself and say, Lord, I know it had to be you for me to come this far. Somebody give God a praise. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalms 37. Turn there for us. Still talking about rest and peace. That's the title of this message. Rest and peace. Amen. Amen. Psalms 37 and verse 7. When you have that, would you say amen? It says, rest in the Lord. Talking about rest again. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Saying, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Say, when you rest, you're not in a hurry either. When you're resting, your flesh might be wanting to hurt, but when God tells you to rest and be still, you're going to calm yourself down and you're going to wait patiently for him. God said, wait patiently for me. Because David said in the Psalm, my times are in his hands. What do that mean? God don't move on your time. He don't move on my time or your timetable. He has his own time. Amen. So he's saying, in other words, rest in the Lord. He said, rest in the Lord, and says, and wait patiently for him. And then St. John 14 and verse 1. And you had that, but you say amen. St. John chapter 14, verse 1. It says, let your heart not be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Let your heart not be troubled. There's another scripture say, let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let your heart. And the word let means, that little word that people overread and overlook, it means to allow. Let means that you have a choice. Let means that you can let somebody in the door, or they could stay on the outside of the door. If somebody was trying to get knock on the door, if the door was locked, you go and what? Let them in. The word let. You go and let them in, else they won't be able to get in. You have the option to get up and go let them in. Well, that word let means, it said let not. It didn't say let do it. It said let, and the word next to it says let not. Your heart be troubled. It didn't say your heart was going to be troubled, but it says don't let it stay that way. Go to the solution that can help you with a troubled heart. Let not your heart. Let means to allow. Let means to permit. Let means I have allowed myself to be troubled. I have allowed myself to be afraid. I have permitted. I opened up a door to open opportunity to it. It's like negativity. Negativity, you can think negative. We all have thoughts the devil bring across our mind, negative thoughts. You might have a you have a choice to think that way or to dismiss those thoughts and think like God would have you to think. Because the Bible said the weapon of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty through God the pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can have an image in your mind, an imagination that's negative, that's not good. What does a person do with that? They get that off their mind. They don't sit there and continue to think negative. They can if they want to, but it could destroy them. You cast that down. When you have the Holy Ghost, that's the good thing about the Holy Ghost. We're not able to do these things without the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost gives you power to do this thing. In the natural, without the Holy Ghost, you can't do this. But when you have the Holy Ghost, you have the ability to cast down every imagination. Cast down every, you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I pull images down in my mind. The devil tell you, this is going to happen to you. That's going to happen. You say, no, I rebuke that. Lord, I want to believe what you're saying. Lord, take this thought away. You don't sit there and play with thoughts. We can't sit there and play with thoughts and analyze them. We're not God. You get your mind blown by the devil. So already enough people walk around here that ain't in their right mind, seem like. People driving, they about run you over. You don't know what's going on. You just pray, Lord, blood of Jesus, just cover me. The folks are actually not in their right mind. And the devil wouldn't like us to be in our right minds. So it said, let your heart not be troubled. Amen. To be troubled means to be worried. To means over concerned about anything. Anxious about everything. Disturbed, bothered, unsettled, can't think, can't sleep, trouble all day long in the mind. That is not healthy for your mind to be sitting in trouble all the time. We have concerns. Yes, we do. We have concerns about how we're going to take care of this, what's going on here. But just to sit there, and then that's why some people lose their mind. They do too much thinking, and it's negative, and they'll lose their mind. But the Lord said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And the Lord said, in other words, I would keep him or her in perfect peace, complete peace. That might be my next scripture I was going to read. Yeah. But keep him in perfect peace. God will keep you in complete wholeness of mind. You need your mind down here. You don't need your mind to be running off here and there and the other. You'll lose your mind like that. But God said, I will give you power. I keep you in perfect peace. Whose minds is stayed upon me? What God is saying, he ain't saying you got to just be on your knees 24/7. He just saying, keep the mind of Christ. You can keep the mind of Christ. He'll teach you how to keep the mind of Christ. You can work on your job. You can take care of your business. You can do all that. But you got boundaries. In other words, you got a certain boundary. How far are you going to cross over to away from God? You're going to stay right in the vicinity. God's going to be somewhere in your life throughout the day. You're going to acknowledge him in your mind. Something, your mind going to be on in some kind of way. And he said, I will keep you in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed upon me? And the devil, when your mind is really upon the Lord, the devil cannot take you on a road to no return. This is a time and day that the devil's taking people on a road of no return. Because you're listening at the devil. When you not do what God have you to do, you're listening at the devil. And you are on a bad road. Because God, when God is speaking all the time, and he's going to have you to do what's right. Amen. 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 And it says, in other words, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. That's just a scripture I thought I had, but that's fine. Let your heart not be troubled, believe ye in God, and also let your heart not be troubled, ye believe in God, also believing in me. Amen. And in the book of Isaiah, and I think I've already kind of talked about that, about the perfect peace, it said, thou would keep, Isaiah 26, the book of Isaiah, chapter 26 and verse 3, it said, thou would keep him or her in perfect peace. Perfect means complete wholeness, not broken peace. Perfect peace, whose minds? If you notice that word, say stayed. It's S-T-A-Y-E-D. Not a minute. That means you learn how to keep your mind on the Lord. You know how you acknowledge God some kind of way in your mind and your thoughts. Even if you, whatever you're doing throughout the day, there's acknowledgement about God. You don't dismiss him out of your mind. So I would keep them. Everybody found that? Isaiah 26, 3. Chapter 26 and verse 3. That would keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. The word stayed, S-T-A-Y-E-D. That means stayed. That means all the time on thee. You can't have the mind on the Lord and you're spacing out. You're going here and there in your mind. You worry about a whole lot of stuff. You cannot have the mind of Christ like that. We all get storms in our life, unpredicted storms come in our life, and it throws us on the storms for a minute. But then we got to say, Lord, help me with this situation. Get your mind back on the Lord. That means you got to stay on the Lord because you got it back. He took it back. Amen? Amen. Stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. Why would somebody keep their mind on somebody if it wasn't beneficial? You keep your mind stayed on him because you trust in God. This is David hour that I would tell anybody, and I talk to the Lord all the time, put your trust in God. Yeah. You know, you trust people as far as you can see them. You like to trust everyone much far as you see, but put your trust in God. He will not fail you. Amen. He will be there for you when nobody's there for you. He will not change on you. Amen. He will not, God would not change on you. It's a guaranteed thing. Amen. I was listening to a minister, and he was talking about, because he's been around for a long time. He's a good teacher. He said, I'm not 25 years old, so I'm 70-some years old. He said, what I tell you, you can bank on it. He said, everything that I preach to you about the Lord, it is true. It is true. He said, and you can take it from me. He said, you can trust the Lord. You know, I like to hear somebody's been walking with him a while. Because, see, we'll walk with him so long, and then we don't know if we want to serve him or not. See, every time you are challenged, every time I'm challenged, every time you are challenged, God is challenging you, amen, to see how much you love him. How much, amen, no matter what comes in your life. First thing, people, we don't watch it, all of us. We'll be thinking, I don't know how I'm going to make it, Lord. I don't know if I can make it through this. We have said it verbally. We have said it within. I don't know what we're really saying, Lord. We might not just come out and tell the Lord. We say, I don't know how I can make it. We're really saying, Lord, I don't know how long I can walk with you like this. That's really what we're saying. But then there ought to be something on the inside of us that's saying, like the disciples said, from where else should I go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Who else can help me like the Lord? You might say, Lord, this situation I'm going through is very challenging, but I'm trusting you to see me through. There's times I have actually said to the Lord verbally with my mouth, I said, Lord, because some things have been so challenging, even me doing this ministry. You know, it has its good days, it does, but sometimes it's been so challenging. I said, Lord, I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, you really saying I can do this. But it's like, Lord, continue to give me the strength to want to do some things. Because sometimes, don't mean no harm, sometimes working with people like you, working on a supervisor job, is not easy. People, they said, like somebody preached and said, they pay you for the supervisor. Everybody, oh, I want to be the supervisor. Oh, they get paid good. He said, you know what they pay you for? The trouble that you're going to go through? That's what they pay you for. What you get paid for. I don't want to be a supervisor. I wouldn't be even doing this if I didn't know. If I didn't know for sure God called me to do this, I wouldn't be doing nothing like this. I didn't do it before. I never thought about it on my own, something I want to do, but I know he has called me to teach and preach the word, to help people. But it's with any job. I don't care what kind of job you do, it's going to come with some challenges. And we got to know that. You are not going to get a good paying job, a bad paying job, or whatever you get, whatever job you get, it's not going to be peachy keen. You're going to have challenges with it. I don't care what you get in life. Even if you get your house remodeled from the front to the back, and you get everything you want, you still going to have some challenges. Because you got to pay for that. Keep it paid for. Amen? And you might have some challenges break out somewhere else. You're going to have challenges in this life. So if we talk about quitting it all the time, it's just not an option. It shouldn't be an option when you're walking with the Lord anyway, for where you're going to go. See, when you walk in, when you serve the Lord, you need to know why you serve the Lord. You need to know that I'm not serving the Lord for this person or that person or my mom or my daddy or the pastor. I'm serving the Lord because I want to be saved. Amen. When you serve the Lord like that, you're not going to be easily moved. Amen. You got to look at the scripture. That's why the scripture is written in there. What shall separate you and me from the love of God? It wouldn't be in there if God know that some things can separate people. Some people let their kids separate them. They let almost a dog separate anything. I'm going to say the dog, but you know, they said something ridiculous, separate them. That somebody don't like me. They didn't speak to me. I ain't going to church no more. I ain't going to work no more. Please. Little be small things like that separate us from the Lord. God had to pull you, make you think about stuff. Did that person wake you up in the morning? Did they start you on your way? Do they take care of you? Amen. We got to examine ourselves. The Bible says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. You got to know if you're serving God for the fish and the loaves, or you're serving him for a personality, or you're serving him because you know that you need him. How many know you need the Lord? That's why you serve him. Because if that's not your main purpose, that you serve God because you know you need him, anything will walk you away from God. I'm just telling you, anything will walk you away from God. Amen. Them people used to sing, the saints used to sing a long time ago that song, I let nothing separate me from his love. They don't know how to hear them singing that song no more. The older saints, that's what they sung. They're going to say maybe trials, tribulation, whatever, but they say, I will let nothing. They was persuaded to walk with God. And your faith and my faith is going to be tried. And some of these little small things we think we almost about to lose our mind over, you ain't seen nothing yet. The Bible says if you can't run with the footmen, you will not be able to contend with the horses. Footmen just walking footwards. You can't even walk this little stuff like that. Wait till something really get in your way. You will not be able to do that either if you can't even go through a little bit small trial. God speaks to me. That's the way he does. You got to know, amen, and whom you believe in. You got to be fully persuaded that no matter what comes my way, Lord, I am determined. I'm going to walk with you. Help me to walk with you. I don't see my way, but help me to walk with you still. It's not an option for me to quit. It's not an option for me to get out your will, because when you quit walking with the Lord, you actually are getting out of the will of God. I can't get no amens. I say when you decide you're not walking with God no more, you will not serve God, you're getting out of his will, because it's his will that you be saved. Amen. And then you're getting out of your purpose too. Your purpose is when you come to the Lord, God fulfills you on the inside. He fulfills us on the inside. We may not understand that, but you are fulfilled, because remember, before you came to the Lord, there was a vacancy there. And there was an empty there, something void. So when he came into your life, he filled the void. So if you decide I'm going to not walk with God, there's going to be an emptiness again. And then there's a void in your life. Amen. And then the devil going to take over and put something in that void place. Somebody give God a praise. So it's very imperative. You know, people know why they saved a long time ago. I believe we know a little bit, have more knowledge than we used to a long time ago. People that say, come to the Lord. Be baptized in Jesus' name. And let's tarry with them till they get the Holy Ghost. And people even know what they had. They knew they had the Holy Ghost because somebody told them they had the Holy Ghost. They told them the evidence of what they just knew what they heard, but they really didn't know too much about it. They didn't even know almost how to keep it. But God is giving us more wisdom today. And you got to know what you got in your possession, and you got to know that you need to keep it. The Bible said, buy the truth and sell it not. You got to know, it's almost like you got to know what's in your bank account. You got to know what you possess. Because if you do not know what you possess, the devil will snatch that way from you. I encourage people, get in your word more and more. Because times is getting, it's winding up, but it's getting later and later in the hour. And you might not be able to run over there and grab that Bible or call somebody to get, well, your circumstance. Get and learn to get in your word throughout the week. Get in your word. Read your word. Listen to the word while you're driving. Get that word down on the inside of you. In case something come your way, God will spring that word back up. If it's not there, nothing's coming up. The word of God will cause you to have victory. Amen. God would, you don't even have to get, wait till you get to church. God will set you free from whatever you're going through. If you pray and get in the word, your mind might be going away. This man, but you get to talk to God, he'll put you in another frame of mind. Somebody give God a praise. I believe I'm wrapping up things right now. Talking about rest. And I'm going to tell you something about rest and peace and relaxation in the Lord. You have to fight to stay in that rest. I heard, I got one amen. I said, you got to fight to stay in that rest. Amen. You know, if you don't know that, you got to, what they say, read the small print. You got to read it all. You got to understand it all. You, somebody could talk about rest and make you feel so good. And you say, I got that. Yeah, amen. Amen. That's why sometimes I listen to stuff over and over. You don't learn stuff one time. I let stuff pour in my spirit over and over. Honey, you ain't got to tell me to get a hold of God, especially that I'm already going through something. I ain't going to get a hold of nothing. I ain't going to be on Twitter, Facebook, and none of them things. I'm going to be getting something from the Lord for my soul, so I won't lose my mind. Amen? And you, and to some of the rest, you have to, once God, he gives you that rest, and the devil know that you got it. Oh, you feel, they feeling better now. He watches you. They ain't in no uproar right now. They look like they're encouraged. They seem like they're encouraged and stuff. He won't bother you right then. But what does scripture say? He leaves for what? He leaves for a season. Amen. He leaves for a season. So that season might be the next day. Or it might be the next few minutes. Or it could be, yeah, he this is like a thief. He ain't going to tell you, I'm coming back again. Soon as you, amen, he thinks your mind ain't on it. You know, and he's so sneaky. I was telling the sister, it's like I was seeing a sister out to the, not nursing home, but we had a place the other day. I was telling them some of them things, you know. But it's like he'll take a little speck on the, you know, you, let's say you got a wound or something right there, you know, and you done bandaged it up. It's real, feels better now. It's having fine. He said, my hand feel fine. I ain't think nothing about that. If God healed my hand, I'm fine. Then something might bother a little bit and you start messing with it. What? Then you start fighting matter. Oh, you better run to the doctor. Sign out what's going on here. Blow up things up. That means he left you alone for a while. But he will come back. Right. You worried about how you're going to pay your bills. You worry about this and worry about that. And you prayed about it and you feel better. I feel better in my mind and everything. He going to mess with you while you're feeling better. But see, he watches us. I'm going to tell you. He watches you. He watches you. They ain't pick up their Bible today. They ain't pick it up yesterday. They ain't pray today. They ain't pray yesterday. He watches your routine, what you do. Then he know you not thinking about that. He coming back with that same thing. Sometimes we get the victory. Sometimes we recognize this him, like, I'm rebuke that. Sometimes he get us again. We stuck again. So we have to fight to stay in that rest. God giving you enough ammunition in his word. Even when you hear it teach and preach to you, God's giving you ammunition. That's why it's good to respond and say amen, because your spirit is eating. You know, you let stuff fly over your head, you're going to lose some stuff. Even, you know, be attentive, you know, what your ears are here, because you're going to need it. I'm going to need it. You have to fight to stay in rest, and the same way you got to stay in, fight to stay in peace. Right. Because it's like getting out of rest. If you got out of rest, you're going to get out of peace too, because they go together. You rest first, and then you're peaceful, because peace comes along with rest. No rest, no peace. You can be peaceful 1 minute and you can be in an uproar the next few minutes. Am I right? You can actually pray and be talking to the Lord and had a good prayer. But if you don't know, watch as well as pray and guard your spirit, somebody cross you the wrong way, you'd be like, I can't believe that I responded like that. Didn't I just pray? Because that's how quick the devil get up on you. You'd be thinking like, I don't understand that. I just got through praying. I prayed today. I prayed to talk to the Lord. Why am I responding like that? Because you didn't watch as well as pray. And you have to guard your spirit. We don't, I personally, you know, but especially when I was working, even going out in the community, I'm, you know, praying as I get my clothes on, I'm praying and I'm on my way out there. And sometimes I can just feel the presence of God so great on me. I'll be like, wow, I wish I didn't have to go out there. Because you just feel like, you just feel God's presence on you. You just don't want to be bothered with nobody. And I said, Lord, help me to watch as well as pray. Because see, I learned that the devil was on the attack. I don't care about you just come out of prayer. He has somebody to cross you the wrong way, and you be like, meaning it's four bulldogs all at once. You like, what? Didn't I just pray? But watch as well as pray. It's a fight to stay in rest. Rest is a good thing. Because rest, when you rest something, you're being relieved of whatever the pressure is to bother you. You gave it to God, so you're able to go on. The devil will come to your mind. He'll wake you up in the middle of your sleep, or you go to the restroom or whatever. He'll start bringing that thing back to you. One time I said, I got time to think about that. I got to go back to sleep. I thought to myself, I got to go back to sleep. Sometime I've gotten back to sleep. If it was something really disturbing to me, somebody that's trying to wound you up, I said, Lord, I ask you to move this off my mind. But he will come back and try to bring you out of that rest. You give something over to the Lord and cast that to the Lord, and he see you just going on. See, when you give something to the Lord and you really believe God is, you really did give it to him, and you really believe that he's going to take care of it, you're going to be going on with your life. Other people are going to be stuck looking at you. How are you able to go on, Sister Joanne? You going through all what you're going to help you? Because you got your focus on the Lord. You see what's going on with you, but you ain't trying to dwell on it. You dwell on it, you know that ain't a good thing. It'll discourage you. So you're going on. You're going on with your life. And that's what we have to do. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. We got to confuse your enemy. And when God speaks to you, how many know God do speak? When God speaks to you and tell you to do something, he's not going to make you do it. But when he tell you to do something, if he tell you to keep it moving, I don't care who wants to keep it moving, you better keep it moving. If God in your house, if it's in your household or whatever, and God tell you to do something, and it look like everybody ain't gonna get with the picture, or in the church, everybody ain't get picture. If God tell you to do something, you better keep it moving. And the people that don't want to keep it moving, move away from it and keep it moving, because God's gonna get you if he told you to keep it moving. He's telling you to keep it moving for a reason. He don't want that tangle up mess on you. Amen. Whatever you do, he don't want them burdens and all that stuff. He don't want it on you. So it's a choice to do it God's way, or it's a choice, you have a choice to do it your way. But he said, cast all of your cares, not some of them, cast all of your cares on the Lord, because he what? Care. He care for you. And the word care, that means he's going to take care of you. The person that cares for you, they take care of you if you let them. Somebody give God a praise. Somebody give the Lord a great big hand praise. Talking about rest and peace. And I was telling the Lord, that's the Lord, I love it. I love the rest and peace. But I find out it's a fight to stay to do that. But once you get it, it's almost like learning a lesson. You know, let's say you might tell your child, now stay away from that stove because that stove is hot. Don't be able to buy that stove. You won't get burnt. And you done told that child, not to go by the stove. They go anyway. They holler. They got their finger burnt. And you told them, don't do it. God tells us some things to do. Sometimes God may say, don't talk about that. don't say this. Oh, we talk about it. We do it anyway. So you open up trouble for yourself. Amen. Learn to do when God tell you not to do something. Don't do it. Because really, the more you obey God, the more you're going to be blessed. The more you're going to come through and have breakthroughs, the more you obey God. Amen. You treat people the way you want to be treated. You treat people with love. If they refuse to do back into you, you keep it moving. Somebody give God a praise. Amen. Amen, because this is a great big God. I'm going to tell you, there's some things you can do and there's some things you can't do. And you, if God don't, you know, God is a gentleman. God don't even make, do you know God did not make you do anything? No. Some people know that, maybe not know that. God do not, did God make you get saved? I'll help you out since you don't know. Did God make you get saved? Why'd you get saved? Because you need the Lord. Why'd you get saved? Because you wanted, you wanted to. Well, he make you get saved, and he don't make you say. I don't care. You can tell God how hard it is and everything. He'll just stay waiting till you give you some strength, until you walk, till you see it his way, and he strengthen you to go on. He ain't gonna make you. Well, you know, you better walk with me. You better. He ain't making you do that. So I feel like this. If God not making me do anything, and God's not making no one do anything. You know, I ain't trying to make nobody do nothing. I ain't trying to make myself. You know, I'm gonna do. God ain't trying to make me, so I'm not trying to make nobody else or nothing else. Just keep moving with God. Do what God say. Do. Ask God about your situation. Ask him how to work with it. What I do with this, Lord? What do I do with that? And leave it in the hands of the Lord. Somebody clap your hands, great big for the Lord.